So you can help us out by going to WFT.org and clicking on the donate button and helping us out. We always need a little extra money, especially now when we are having our legs cut under us in a number of different ways. First, we're going to have little Connie's hot flashes on the movies.
You must remember this. A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh.
The fundamental. On Connie's hot flashes on the movies this week, it's almost Halloween, and I've resurrected some otherworldly spirits in two Spanish spine tinglers, both set in orphanages, guaranteed to infuse your bones with a hair-raising eeriness that reappears later in your dreams. Told from a boy's perspective, Carlos, Guillermo del Toro's The Devil's Backbone will deliver the shivers and hold you hostage with a pervading sense of dread, just like his other films did, Pan's Labyrinth and Kronos. This one takes place in a lonely boarding school during the Spanish Civil War. It's an orphanage for the sons of dead Republicans, and in the courtyard is an unexploded symbolic fascist bomb. Dr. Cesaris and Carmen are old leftists who run the joint. One is impotent, and the other sports a wooden leg. A sadistic caretaker, Jacinto, although engaged to the housekeeper, does the hanky-panky under the sheets with the peg-leg Carmen, in a scene guaranteed to make you squirm. Carlos and the boys enjoy typical pastimes, except for their budding friendship with a ghost, Santi, a deceased resident who whispers, "Many will die." Santi's apparition appears with a half-crushed head and decaying skin, indicating the specter of evil just around the corner. Carlos tracks Santi through dark hallways and musty cellars, where water droplets and throbbing heartbeats tick away the minutes. The old approach avoidance response is in full force, where eventually the boys must align themselves against demonic forces. In this allegorical Spanish tale, disturbing violence implies tough lessons from history. It's a grim, multifaceted story. No campy fright fest here, but brutal horror that permeates until the final shot sets off its last jolt. The Orphanage is a carefully paced supernatural thriller from the first-time director Juan Bayona. In this another suspenseful and anxiety-producing tale, a young mother, Laura, and her husband return to the orphanage where she grew up in order to start a home for disabled children. But soon after purchasing the Gothic estate, they discover their son, Simon, insists he's found imaginary friends. But then, the boy goes missing. Panic-stricken, Laura senses that the household spirits are to blame, but no one believes her. In desperation, she calls in an aging medium, effectively brought to life by Geraldine Chaplin, in a great scene where she channels the dead children in an especially hair-raising sequence. Afterward, Laura's intuition draws her to her son's imaginary friends, ghosts of orphans past, who leave a set of clues that may help her to be reunited with her son. The heart of the movie is Laura's strong performance. She conveys an aura of grief and remorse concerning the innocent mistakes she made in childhood. Finally, she recalls a hasty and tragic oversight, another clue. What will Laura sacrifice to see her son again? The Orphanage touches upon tragic issues of sorrow and loss as it holds on to an unsettling tone where the sense of fear is harder to shake off than any of those silly, blood-spurting monster movies that people still seem to have a hankering for at the Cineplex. The Devil's Backbone and The Orphanage are a couple of inventive fright flicks you ought to check out, especially during spook season. And that's all this week for Connie's Hot Flashes on the Movies.
And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you. On that you can rely. No matter what the future brings.
Hey, this is WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. You're listening to The Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan, and I am typically annoyed by the things around me. Before I get into my program, I want to remind you that WFT is community radio for East Central Illinois, and here on the Midwatch, I try to take some of the spin off the Dittohead Media machine and correct the lies and misinformation of the RNC and the leadership of the Republican Party. And because I am running a little bit late tonight, I am a little bit discombobulated. A large part of that is because of media. Media meaning my personal computer. It decided after I left my last location and restarted it at this location that it has a ton of updates to upload. That's annoying. But we have other things that we can do. One of those things is to recognize that this is community radio, and as such, we do not have commercials. We have public service announcements. And I'm going to try to bounce this ball down the road here by going to our first public service announcement. Sort of first. Here it is.
This hour of programming is brought to you by the listeners of WEFT and Pizzeria Antica, which strives to provide Champaign-Urbana with an authentic Neapolitan pizza experience, preparing only fresh, all-natural, non-processed ingredients in wood-fired ovens. Taking pizza orders from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Phone 217-530-4137 and online at anticachampaign.com.
WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I want to remind you that here on the Midwatch, I talk about national politics for the most part. My discussion of national politics is leaning to the left, as the Republicans would have you think. I prefer to think that it is leaning towards reality and science, two of the things that the left hate and refuse to acknowledge as having any kind of legitimacy. So, let me ask you, invite you, cajole you into adding your voice to the program so that it is not just me rambling on without my computer, which looks very much like it could be for some time now because my computer updates are only 30% complete. So, you can give me a call at 217-FLY-LIVE. That's 217-359-5483, 217-359-5483. Give me a call, add your voice to the program. Let's have a conversation. I do indeed believe that we can figure stuff out, because I know for a fact that I have the smartest radio audience in East Central Illinois. And that, my friends, is you. You're the ones that keep me on track, up to speed, with everything that I need to know, and most of what I need to talk about. So give me a call, 217-359-5483, 217-359-5483. Give me a call. Let's have a conversation. That's what the conservatives have said for the past 8 years, is we need to have a conversation. But when the Democrats have tried to converse, the Republicans have said, "No way, Jose." And under the leadership of Donald Trump, Jose is now John. No way, John, because we don't believe in people named Jose. It is 12 minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. You're listening to the Midwatch. I need to remind you that at the Art Theater on August 21st, there will be a viewing of 1831. Nate Turner led a brutal revolution in Virginia's Southampton County in 1831. He and his fellow slaves killed not just white slaveholders, but also their wives, mothers, and children. After the marauders were killed and or captured, bands of white men took revenge by shooting and stringing up blacks. This peculiar institution would endure for three more decades. However, slaveholders could never again be certain that the blacks who were their property, or in some cases considered family, would not someday turn on them again. This is the story that writer-director Nate Parker sets out to tell us in The Birth of a Nation. 1831, my friends, is the beginning of police forces in all of the South and much of the North of this country. In 1831, they were called, and I forget the exact name now because my computer is still trying to boot up, slave militia or something like that. And that was the police force of many southern towns. And those police forces spread to the north. Their goal was to round up rowdy slaves and return them to the people, the white people, that owned them. Over the years, the police forces in many areas became extensions of various corporations, as they were the extension of various slaveholders in the 1830s. By the time Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, they became minions of corporations, because corporations were people too. And in the 1930s, the police forces in many states that were trying to create unions to protect low and middle income people were attacked by police forces. In the 1870s and 80s, these people were attacked by police forces. They were the afterthought, the progeny, if you will, of anti-uppity slaves. And now, in 2016, we have an ongoing number of black people shot unarmed by white cops, or black cops, because the black cops and white cops both belong to the police forces. Back in the 60s, when I was a younger man than I am today, we were fighting against this same oppression. And we still must fight. Some people say that freedom is not free. And when they say that, they're really referring to the 2% of the people in our country that actually join voluntarily now the military of the United States of America. Freedom is not free for 98% of people because 2% of people join the military. That's what a lot of people think. But the reality is, freedom is not free unless every person in this country gets off their recliner, gets off their couch, gets off their behind, and works for freedom. Today, thanks to Ronald Reagan, we have done away, essentially, with the laws that prevent monopoly. The reality is that doing away with laws that prevent monopoly has solidified the hold on our government by the corporatists. You see, back in 1980, it took nearly 100 corporations to contact 80% of the population. 100 individual corporate owners encouraging their staff to put forth an agenda. Today, it takes 6 corporations to encourage their staff to put forth the 1%'s agenda. That's reality, my friends. That's fact, not fiction. That's the way it has become since Ronald Reagan decided to stop enforcing the Taft-Hartley laws. And there hasn't been a president of this United States that has been willing to fight back against corporations. That was until we had an opportunity to put Bernie Sanders as nominee of the Democratic Party. Well, the corporations, the six of them, couldn't stand that because he was going to break up their stinking monopoly. So, bingo bango, for the first 6 months of this election cycle, you hardly ever heard the word Bernie Sanders. You hardly ever heard the name Bernie Sanders because the six corporations that controlled 80% of the population's access to media, the six corporations didn't want to lose their monopoly power. They didn't want to lose the revenue from a election cycle. 60% of media revenue comes from political advertising. That's fact. The closer, if you will, the contest is, the more advertising dollars they have, and therefore the less willing they are to tell you the truth. They have an obligation, according to the Supreme Court, to work for the benefit of their shareholders. So they don't work for the benefit of middle-class Americans. They work for the benefit of their shareholders. Of the value of all corporations is controlled by 10% of the population. Does middle-class Americans have a chance? Do they have any chance at all of being exposed to things that will help them? The answer is clear and obvious. They do not. The only time you have an opportunity to be exposed to reality is when you listen to people that are indeed reasonable. I am not and have not been a Hillary supporter my whole life. But when you put Hillary Clinton up against Donald Trump, oh my God. Donald Trump will take us back to war. He has said he would. He has said that he wants to put troops on the ground in Iraq. He has said he wants to put troops on the ground in Syria. He wants to put troops on the ground everywhere in the country that he can put poor and middle-class people in the military on the ground to die and be maimed and be damaged by his actions, because he doesn't give a horse's behind about them. It's all about how much money he can make off of them. we have got to wake up. We have got to find a Bernie Sanders. The only good thing about Hillary Clinton is that she is malleable. Donald Trump is not malleable. For his entire life, he has been a misogynist. He has been a racist. He has been a xenophobe his entire life. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, has been a corporatist. But Hillary Clinton proved her malleability when she set up her platform. When she set up her platform, she took over 80% of the issues and topics that Bernie Sanders had tried to kick her butt on and was successful. The only thing that prevented Bernie Sanders from being presidential candidate for the Democratic Party was the corporatist media, because Hillary is a corporatist. So they supported her to the detriment of middle-class Americans who were the base, if you will, of the Bernie Sanders movement. Wake up, wake up, wake up, please, my friends. Back in 1933-34, FDR told the unions after his election, after the great Republican disaster of the Great Recession, Great Depression, FDR told the people that they would have to force him to do the right thing. They would have to tell him what to do. They would have to work behind the scenes to get him to do what he did. And he did it. Currently, we have Hillary Clinton, who has proven that she is willing to work behind the scenes to work for you, because she saw the power of Bernie Sanders and she changed her platform to match his following. We have got to vote for Hillary Clinton. Freedom isn't free, my friends. The Republicans would have you believe that freedom isn't free because the 2% of us that have served in the military. But freedom isn't free because every one of us have to get off our lazy boy, our couch, our chair, our behind, and fight for what is good for us. The Republicans are always going to fight for what is good for them. They are always going to fight for what is good for the minority of people in this country. Every election cycle, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, half a dozen maybe, of Republican candidates go out on the stump and say, repeal the 17th Amendment. We can't trust you people to vote for senators anymore. The 17th Amendment made it possible for you to vote for your senator. The Republicans didn't want that. They don't want that to this day because they don't trust you. And that's why you have to get off your duff and go to the polls and do it early and vote against this kind of narrow-minded hoo-ha that only helps the one percenters. I beg you. I beg you. We have to end the extremism in the Republican Party. And today, we have two candidates that are the most extreme candidates we have seen in modern history in the Republican Party. We have Donald Trump, who is a racist. He is a misogynistic person. He is a xenophobe. He is an anti-American, by my definition, person. And we have Mike Pence, who is a person that believes that our country should be controlled by one religious belief. Sometimes that religious belief bleeds over into Christianity. Sometimes that religious belief bleeds over into Muslim. Sometimes that religious belief bleeds over into Scientology. But it is all about religion. It is all about belief. Belief that I will do the right thing, even though I believe to my core that I am right and you are wrong. I can tell you what to do with your body and you can't. Christianity says women can't have abortions because guys like Mike Pence is right. The Muslims believe that women cannot have education, they cannot have personal wealth, they cannot have freedom. Scientology teaches you that you can't believe anything can be produced by science. Science is wrong. You have to believe in God's willing to heal you. Don't go to the doctor. Pray to the God of your choice. Oh my God! We have these extremists on the Republican side. And we have a reasonable female candidate. She's a corporatist that pushes her to the right. We have Tim Kaine, who is a politician his whole life that sets him up to be bought by the corporations. We got to fix this, my friends. Again, the media has given us the lesser of two evils. One guy says it's my way or the highway. The other gal says it's my way or what the majority of you want. What do you think is the better for you? Are you part of the majority or are you part of the one percenters who are my way? That's not a hard decision. The hard decision is whether you're going to get off your lazy boy, your couch, your backside, and vote. You have to vote your special interest. If you vote your special interest, you will vote for Hillary Clinton. If you vote for some belief, trust that somebody else will do the right thing, you will vote for Donald Trump. It's as simple as that. Vote for your own special interest and vote for Hillary Clinton, or vote for your belief that somebody else will change to accommodate your special interest. Reality versus belief. Data worth versus dogma. What are you going to do? In Illinois, it's an easy answer. Really, it is. Because Illinois will vote blue. Illinois will vote for Hillary Clinton. But there's a handful of you people out there, maybe more than a handful, that are driving down the interstates and have stumbled on this program. I invite you to think about what I've said. I am not reading what I've said off of my computer. I'm not reading anything I've said off of somebody else's website. I'm not reading anything off that I've said off of the number of media sources that I have accessed in the past couple of days to put together this program. This is me. This is my belief, my reality, and it is based on fact. It's based on data. If you believe that 1 and 1 is 2, that's data. That's just data. Thirty-eight minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. WFT is community radio for East Central Illinois, and as such, we are community radio. We do public service announcements rather than commercials. Here's one now.
WEFT is sponsored in part by our community partner, Jet's Pizza. Jet's stores prepare dough fresh daily and use only premium ingredients. The quality is in the taste. Jet's Pizza's Champaign stores are located at the corner of Neal and Green, 217-352-3333, and Springfield and Mattis, 217-352-9992, or jetspizza.com.
Hey, this is WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. Here on the Midwatch, I try to take some of the spin off the data media machine. I provide you with an unscreened audio link to the rest of the world because we do broadcast over the internet. And right now, I want to take you to a little bit of a musical interlude. Fiona Boys, Can't Stay Here No More.
My bags are packed up. Lord, and I gotta go. My bag's packed now. Lord, and I gotta go. Well, I can't stay here no more. I can't stay here no more.
see me walking out. I'm walking out that door. I wanna know, babe, what is on your mind? Well, I can't hear you no more. What is on your mind? Well, I can't hear you no more.
Hey, WFT Shim. Hey, WFT Champagne 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. It is 43 minutes past the hour. It's on an open line call-in program. You can give me a call at 217-FLY-LIVE. That's 217-359-5483. 217-359-5483. Give me a call. Add your voice to the program. I really, really would like to hear from people that support Donald Trump. Secondarily, I would like to hear from people that support Hillary Clinton. A couple of days ago, we had a vice presidential debate, and most of the pundits, including myself, were in the belief that Mike Pence won. My belief that Mike Pence won is because of a little phobia, a little annoyance that I have with interruptions. You see, in the Monday debate, Tim Kaine interrupted Mike Pence somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 times. I hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it when people talk over me. That is the measure of reality. If you talk over me, you lose. Tim Kaine talked over Mike Pence depends, somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 times, depending on the source that you listen to or whatever. The other side of that coin is that Mike Pence talked over Tim Kaine 55 times. It was a very annoying debate because neither one of them would allow the other to speak. But because Mike Pence spoke over Tim Kaine less, by a margin of about 2%, Mike Pence won. If we go back to the presidential debate between Hillary and the Donald Trump spoke over Hillary about 55 times. Hillary spoke over Donald about 15 times. If you add those numbers together, the Republicans spoke over the Democrats 110 times, and the Democrats spoke over the Republicans 80 times. Between the two debates, clearly the Democratic positions, in my humble opinion, won by my number one measure of winning a debate. Going back to the vice presidential debate on Monday, we had Mike Pence refusing to support his presidential candidate 10 times, and Tim Kaine supporting his presidential front runner every time. That makes Tim Kaine the winner of Monday's debate. Mike Pence refused to support Donald Trump's misogynistic comments. He refused to push back against his attack on Mexicans for being all rapists and criminals and murderers and yada, yada, yada. He refused to push back against that. Mike Pence was truly, on Monday night, working for Mike Pence. Because even Mike Pence understands that Donald Trump cannot win this election. If people will just get off their recliner, get off their couch, get off their butts, and go to the polls, we have dozens of states in this country that polling has already started. Get out there and vote for Clinton, for God's sakes. She is the most reasonable of the two candidates. Clearly, Bernie Sanders was the most reasonable of the three candidates. Donald Trump won the Republican nomination because of ad hominem attacks against his opponents. Every one of Donald Trump's opponents on the Republican side lost not because of issues, but because of personal attacks. Now, you and I have to hold these candidates' feet to the fire for issues. Issues. It's hard. I know that. It's hard. It's much easier to see the ad by Hillary Clinton that points out the 6 or 8 sound bites that we have of Donald Trump attacking women. You've seen that video. You've seen that ad. It's hard to recognize that as a personal attack. It is. But it is also reality. A true personal attack occurs when you make stuff up. Donald Trump's opponents on the Republican side made comments about the size of his hands relating to the size of his genitals as an ad hominem attack. That was wrong. That is unprovable unless you're Ivanka or some other woman. Maybe that 13-year-old girl, maybe the Jane Doe that alleges that he attacked her as a 13-year-old. Maybe that's part of the deal. Maybe we could ask her about the size of his hands. My God, folks. Back in 2004, John Kerry made a huge error. John Kerry thought that if you just go after George W. Bush for his failures in his first 4 years, that would carry the day. George W. Bush and the Republicans knew that the way to attack John Kerry was by doing an ad hominem attack against his military record. And that's what they did. You as voters need to get off your recliner, get off your couch, get off your backside, and look at the issues. Donald Trump has said that he wants to reduce the federal minimum wage. He has literally said that. As has Bruce Rauner here in Illinois. He wants zero minimum wage. Donald Trump thinks $5 is good. You can have 4 jobs. I mean, there's a possibility of having at least 3 jobs in a 24-hour period. If you have 4 jobs, that's even better. Donald Trump is fighting against workers in Nevada that want to make $2 more an hour. And he said no. They want to go from $8 an hour to $10. And he has said no. Do you think there's any chance in hell that a Donald Trump administration would want to increase the minimum wage? Absolutely not. Do you know who the minimum wage helps? It helps the Walton family. It helps the Trump family. It helps the one percenters. Because you know why? And here's the answer to that. When these people, these one percenters, are able to pay the low minimum wage that Walmart pays. Oh, by the way, there was an article just this past week saying that Walmart was the lowest paid company in America. Even though they've raised their minimum wage to $10 an hour, they're still the lowest average paid worker in America. And people at Walmart will vote for Trump when he wants to reduce or maintain their low wage status. But that's another issue. We have a situation where the federal minimum wage is $7.25 an hour. Here in Illinois, our workers have a minimum wage of $8.25 an hour. Wowzy wowzer. At $8.25 an hour, you still, working a 40-hour week, get to receive what's called an earned income tax credit. That earned income tax credit is designed to raise your minimum wage to about $10 an hour. Okay? So for every penny that your employer pays you below $10 an hour, you receive a penny from the government. The government, my friends, is funded in two ways. Tax receipts from those of us who do not receive an earned income tax credit, and borrowing. Donald Trump, Bruce Rauner, want to reduce the minimum wage so that the federal government pays more. The state government pays more. There is more debt. Holy crap! And people believe that Donald Trump is going to get us out of debt? The economists that have looked at his plans say that over the next 10 years, the federal debt will increase by at least $10 billion. If you believe that the increase in federal debt from the $12 billion that was handed off to Barack Obama to the $19 billion now is bad, wait until you see a Republican. Republicans do not care what the debt is. Vice President Dick Cheney famously said that the national debt doesn't matter. And I'll add this, when a Republican is in office. It only matters when a Democrat is in office, because it has been the plan of the Republican Party for 35 years to starve the beast, cut income to the federal government so they can't provide benefits to people who can't protect themselves. And then we will make this country into India, where you have people dying in the streets because they are disabled, because they are poor, because they need help. I have a caller. It's about time. Good evening. You're on WFT. May I have your first name, please?
Hey, Stan. It's Tyrone. How you doing?
Tyrone, welcome.
I haven't spoken to you for a while.
No, you haven't, but I know you've called. Thank you for the call.
Yep, I'm listening all the time. But, you know, it just amazes me. I listen to you trying to enlighten the people. But, you know, I've come to the realization that really you're wasting your time.
Tyrone, say, please
people,
don't burst
people,
my bubble. I've got a
people,
bubble here.
These people are blind. They didn't already sold. They sold to the devil.
Well, I
and
hope
that's
you're
just
wrong.
The truth. That's
I hope
just
you're
the
wrong.
Truth.
I hope
and
you're
especially,
wrong.
Especially the ones that call themselves Christians.
Yes.
You know, seriously, because, you know, I'm a diligent, you know, reader of the scripture. You know, I believe in Jesus, and I try to govern my life, you know, by the teachings of Christ. And when I look at, you know, Donald Trump, you know, I have to look at what the scripture says. What comes out of a man's mouth defines a man. It defines him. Listen to what the man's saying. Listen to the hate that he's saying. You can tell a tree by the fruit that it bears.
Yeah,
what has
right.
he done all of his life?
That's right.
He has taken, ripped people off, manipulated, lied, cheated on his wives, treated women like dirt. But here these people, they know what's going on with Trump, but they don't care.
Nope.
They don't care.
They don't.
Because it also says in the Bible that anger lies in the belly of a fool. So when you got anger, you cannot see the reality. So I have a message for all of them. Keep on holding on to your anger. Because the decisions that you make in this world, you're going to be accountable for them on Judgment Day. But it's going to go deeper than that. Because if Trump gets to be president, you're going to have your judgment before. Because he's going to have mass chaos in this country and around the world. So go ahead. Go ahead, people. Feed off your hatred. Go right ahead. Because God got something for you. That's all I got to say, Stan.
Hey, you got a lot more to say. I know that you've got it in you. And I agree with every word you've said so far. But the reality is, we don't have to lay down and take this.
No, we don't have to lay down and take it. But, you know, you're not going to convince those people. You're not going to convince them. You're not. The man then came out point blank and let everybody know what he's about, who he is. Satan works through people, just like God works through people. And Satan is at work. He's at work. And, Satan blesses people, too, with material things. Better go to the scripture where he went to Jesus and said, bow down to me, I'll give you everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, people that think, you know, they got this little material stuff, oh, it's a blessing from God, okay, be deceived if you want to. So go ahead. Cast your vote. It also says, don't throw your...
Oh. Tyrone, I think I lost you. Tyrone, you still there? Hello? Oh, my God. Sorry, Tyrone, I think you're on a roll, but I can't hear you, and therefore neither can anybody else. So call me back if you can, and it's all good. I agree with everything you said. You're right on the mark. And that's really what I was trying to say. And Tyrone, you may not like this. But religion is based on belief. The facts are based on data. Republicans work mostly on belief. Liberals, Democrats, I believe, work mostly on data and are willing to accept data when it's shown to them. Republicans are not willing to accept data when it is shown to them. Just this past day, the United Nations got together and decided to approve the most recent climate change agreement. The most recent climate change agreement. This agreement supersedes Kyoto, which was also approved by the United Nations. We had Kyoto, and then we had George W. Bush. George W. Bush immediately denounced and removed the United States from the Kyoto agreements. Donald Trump has said that he will not go along with the most recent United Nations agreement. That will make the United States of America the only nation in the United Nations that does not accept science and reality. The only nation based on belief rather than fact. Really? There was a time when our President of the United States believed in science. The President of the United States, back in the day, back in my day, back when I was a child, said, screw the Soviets. We will put a man on the moon and bring him back safely within 10 years. And the United States of America, believing in science, did it. Did it. And now we have a Republican candidate, a Republican vice presidential candidate that does not believe in science. Science says we have global warming. We have a hurricane out in the Atlantic Ocean right now by the name of Matthew. This could be one of the largest hurricanes ever to strike the United States. Certainly one of the strongest hurricanes ever to strike Haiti, Cuba, the Bahamas, and now it's headed for the United States. And the Republicans say, that's just luck of the draw. Might happen, might not. And the reality of the science of that is that the hurricanes must have a water temperature sufficient to sustain them. That water temperature is somewhat above 70 degrees Fahrenheit. The entire ocean, the entire Atlantic Ocean has to be, well, the part of the Atlantic Ocean near the coast has to be above 70 degrees to spawn a hurricane. We don't have them very often. We do have them. A 100 years ago, they were much less frequent. Over the past 100 years, the mean temperature of the world has increased by more than 1 degree Celsius, which is about 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit. We have them more often. That's fact. That's not fantasy. That's not belief. That's fact. And yet the Republicans want the United States of America to be the only country in the world that is part of the United Nations to disallow fact. Really? And you want to vote for somebody that refuses to recognize facts? I don't get it. I'm sorry, I just don't get it. It's 10 minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. We do public service announcements rather than commercials Here's another now.
A destination for coffee and community for over 20 years, Cafe Kopi is proud to support WEFT Community Radio. Located in downtown Champaign, Cafe Kopi offers a variety of gourmet coffee, teas, pastries, and sandwiches from 7 a.m. to midnight, 7 days a week. They have a Facebook page, Twitter, or their website is cafe-kopi.com.
Hey, this is WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Here's a clip from Fiona Boys, The Devil You Know.
When the devil you know living right next door. When the devil you know living right next door. And the left hand hiding from the right one. Nobody's paying the bills. Good people running scared and the angels are heading for the hills. Everybody wanna know what's going on behind your door. Even God's getting mighty tired just from keeping score. Ain't nobody business which way the ill wind blows. Got people accusing you before they even say hello. Well, they hang from the windows, peeking through the cracks. Won't you get your big nose out my business? Don't it bring it back to the devil you know. Him right next door. In your shotgun shack, living underground. You may be making money and they call you Mr. It ain't worth what's going down. Cause they hang from the windows, peeking through the cracks. Won't you get your big nose out my business? Don't it bring it back to the devil you know. Living right next door. Devil you know is living.
WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. Give me a call, 217-FLY-LIVE. That's 217-359-5483. 217-359-5483. Give me a call. Add your voice to the program. Let's have a conversation. I especially want to talk to Republicans that can support Donald Trump. His racism, his misogynism, his xenophobia. Somebody support him. Mike Pence refused to support him during the vice presidential debate. Perhaps you can take his place. Right here on WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. In about 45 minutes, we will have Adrian in here with the Sync Sound System. That is an electronic music program that Adrian pulls from around the world. And I think that you'll enjoy that program at least as much as you do this one. Sixteen minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign. Somehow, some way, we need to get our police departments to stop appearing to be racist. Somehow, some way, we need to stop this. In the past 3 weeks, there have been 3 killings of black people who were unarmed by policemen. One of those cases, the police said they found a gun. The video doesn't prove it. The people that knew the guy that was shot and killed, their stories are way different. There is no video to support the police allegations as to what he did. One of them happened in North Carolina. One of them happened in Oklahoma. And one of them happened in California. So it's not a... it's not a southern problem, if you will. It seems to be a police department protocol problem. And we have, in some of those instances, black chiefs of police supporting their officers. And frankly, that's their job. That is their job. And the minutia of their job, they may not be able to control to a very real extent because they rely on captains and sergeants and et cetera on down the line. But somehow we've got to get a handle on this. Within this 3-week period, a white guy with a replica gun was talked to for 6 hours by mostly white police to give up the replica gun. The other 3 instances each took less than 10 minutes. 6 hours for one, 30 minutes for 3. Really? That by itself indicates bias to me. We had this guy down in, where was he? Arcola, last year. I think it was Arcola. We killed his mother-in-law and his wife and yada, yada, yada. Had a gun, clearly had a gun. White guy. The police talked to him for a couple of hours before he thought he would be the Sundance Kid guy, and he came out of his trailer shooting. He was committing police suicide by cop. He was doing that. I believe that with every fiber of my being. He knew he'd killed people. He had a gun. He could shoot it. He was negotiated with for a couple of hours, and then he decided to commit suicide by cop. You have a guy in North Carolina that every day waited for his son a block or so away from where he lived in his truck. And every day he read a book while he was waiting. And yet, when the police rolled up on him, they killed him. We had a guy in North Carolina whose wife called the police for help because he was having emotional problems. The police came and killed him. We had a guy in California who, God only knows what he did. The police came up and killed him. Three people, black people, dead in 30 minutes. One person, white guy, with what looked like a gun, 6 hours to talk him out of the gun. Does anybody understand the concept of white privilege? I'm a white guy. I am. I admit to it. That's bad. I know some people would say it's bad. Several years ago, I drove through the the town of Sullivan. And I was drunk. I was very drunk. And I had been called in as a, the police in Sullivan had been alerted to me by the police down the road because I had stopped and bought another beer. The police in Sullivan followed me from the time I entered the city of Sullivan until I was on the outskirts of Sullivan. And finally, they flipped on their lights, and they pulled me over. They knew I was drunk. They took me to the police station. They called my wife. They made her come and get me. No DUI. No bullets were fired. White privilege. I thank God I didn't get a DUI. I'm even more grateful I didn't hurt somebody. Black guy. All three of these black guys were sober. None of them had weapons. All of them are dead. Because the police rolled up on them and fired within minutes, if not seconds. I have a call. WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Midwatch. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. Are you still there? No. Must have been a wrong number. Nope. We'll try again. Good evening. This is WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm Reasonable Man Stan. What's your first name, please?
Yeah, this is Kurt calling. Stan, how you doing tonight?
Kurt, I am pretty doggone good. How are you?
I'm fine. I was just hearing your talk tonight about the police. But I've just been saying this. I've talked to a few of my friends on this, both Afro-Americans and Caucasians. What if it was turned around and there's some white guys? You know, you got some young white kids kind of going out and raising cane sometimes every now and then.
Yeah.
And one of them is shot by a black police officer. Now, what kind of reaction do you think that would be? If it was a black cop that shot a white teenager and the white teenager died, what do you think would happen then?
You know what I think, Kurt. That black cop would be in so much trouble, he wouldn't be able to get his badge back for years.
Yeah, it would happen that way because I had an Afro-American friend one time who told me that he had a friend who was a black cop. He stopped this one white big shot in town one time. He got out of the ticket because the judge wanted to precisely how fast he was going. He couldn't tell it. You know, I mean, he had it between that month, and this was a long, long time ago. And therefore, he got off, and he was disciplined.
The cop was disciplined for arresting a white guy for speeding?
Yeah.
There you go. It's the system, Kurt.
Yeah, it is a system, and it is bad, and it has to be changed.
Yes.
Because I one time, another instance, I was down in Florida. We drove this new car we had down to Florida, and I forgot to put the sticker on. Okay, well, they didn't say a word about it. I went all the way through the southern states and back, and then when I got back to Champaign, I was going near a gym to play some pickleball, and an officer stopped me, and then he saw that I happened to work for part-time for the city of Champaign. I'm a crossing guard. Mm-hmm. He said, Kurt, I really hate to do this, but you without your what you call sticker. And I said, I don't know where it is. I'm going to have to go home and get it. He says, that's just a friendly warning. Now, the thing was, this was a white cop. He happened to know who I was. And I think that's the reason he let me go.
Yeah.
But if it would have been something else, and if it was something he didn't like about me, he probably would have given me a ticket anyway.
You know, I agree with that. You know, the one thing that, in my opinion, made me have some affinity, if you will, with DWB, was back in back in 1971, I was driving in Chicago in my dress whites. I was pulled over by a cop for running a red light that really wasn't red, it was yellow. But I was DWM, driving while in the military, and I got a ticket.
I see. Apparently he was doing some profiling of sailors. Then is that right?
Correct.
You were in the Navy at the Great Lakes.
Correct. Correct. I think you're right.
Sometimes they profile certain people, like even around where I went to school at Central High, then Champaign High, and there used to be cops all around all the time. And there's always certain people and this one thing about it is they're driving all around the school. They didn't care if you're black or white or Asian or whatever. There are certain people that they were looking for all the time to give the ticket. Because once in a while, a cop would ask me, hey, have you seen that Johnny whatchamacallit? I say, nope, I haven't seen him around. And they'd even boast about it. If I catch him going 1 mile over the limit, I'm going to give him the ticket. This is when I'm back in high school, back between 1963 and 1962 and 1965, when I graduated.
Yeah, you and I are about the same age.
And certain cops are always looking for certain guys.
I know. I had an uncle that got a DUI 40, 50 years ago now. And he could not drive his vehicle. A lot of times he'd get stopped. Now, a lot of time he'd been drinking, but still, yeah, he got a lot of DUIs because once they got that first one, they profiled him. They looked for him. They followed him. When I did my ride around with Officer Gale here in Champaign, he was looking for specific people. He was literally looking for specific people. The one person that we got that he didn't realize was on his list, if you will, didn't have a license plate on either the front or the back of their vehicle. So, yeah, he's going to pull them over. In retrospect, it was kind of a comedy, watching him look for specific people.
Yeah, that's what they do. And of course, there used to also be specific cops back then that we used to like to tease, and one of them was a lot like the Barney Fife character.
Yeah,
and we used to rag him all the time.
Yeah,
and we'd laugh at him.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there's another cop that was pretty dang tough. He played football at Illinois, and he was like the cop you didn't give no lip to. No one gave him any lip. I don't care who you were.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's even certain police have different personalities in the way they approach their jobs. I learned that too.
Yeah, that's all true. They are individuals first and police officers second. And back in the early parts of the Bush 43 administration, I've read several articles about how the Aryan Nation type people, it recruited people to become police officers. And frankly, I believe that's part of the problem with our police force today. They need to be vetted to make sure that they have not been part of an Aryan Nation type of organization.
Or a lot of the other these white supremacist group like the Ku Klux Klan.
Yes, that's all the same thing. I mean, those are all the racist people. You got to be profiled to make sure you're not part of a racist organization or haven't had contact with a racist organization, because you don't know how many contacts that it takes with a racist organization to suck you in.
Well, on the other hand, I've known good police officers who've gotten along and worked and got along with members of all communities across racial lines. On the other hand, that's been done.
I do too. But the reality is that back in the early 2000s, the racist organizations tried to encourage their membership to become police officers. And let me go out on a little bit of a limb with you, Kurt, because I like you and I know I can talk to you a little bit. But the Republicans for the past 8 years, the conservatives for the past 8 years, have been going on and on and on about how President Obama wants to create his own personal police, yada, 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 force. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
My concern is that the racist police force is not now strong enough to think that if they can get the racist Donald Trump elected, they will be his personal police force, as they threatened. Because that's what Republicans do. They tell you what's going to happen by a Democrat, and then they do it themselves.
Yep, that's the way they operate.
Yep, they do. And we're in a lot of trouble if that happens.
Well, let's pray it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because I fear if Donald Trump gets elected, we'll be in a dictatorship.
I don't think he'll give up the office. The Republicans right now are going on and on about how Obama's not going to give up the office, but he is. He's not going to try to prevent the election in November 8th. He's not going to try to do that. It's going to be a Republican that does that.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump is the prime candidate because he's a failed businessman. I mean, he's grown his theoretical fortune from $50 million to $1 billion or more. But he's also failed at a business that is essentially guaranteed to win. He failed at the gambling business.
Yeah, and then here's another thing. You got a lot of these white working people voting for Trump, and I'll tell you, these white working people, I hate to call them ignorant, but they are, because they haven't even led a really research team. Here's something Trump's going on. I read Harry Truman's book, Plain Speaking. Here's what Truman says. He says, you can always tell someone trying to, he says, every person has a prejudice. When
yes.
you appeal to a person's prejudice, this is the wrong thing. If you want to get elected, appeal to their best instincts. Well, it worked for Harry Truman back in 1948. And the problem is, I'm no great lover of Hillary Clinton by a long shot, but I'm still going to vote for her over Trump. But I said this before. If Harry Truman was resurrected, I'd be campaigning for him tooth and nail.
Back,
what I read about Harry Truman, he told it like it was, and people listened.
Yeah. Back in 1948, we had a media that was not monopolistic. We had a media that probably required 100 corporations to reach 80% of the population. Back in 1980, we had nearly 100 corporations that was necessarily, I think I said that right, 200 in 1948, 100 by 1980. There's been consolidation along the line. I'm not denying that. But since Ronald Reagan, the consolidation has gone exponential. And right now it takes 6 corporations to reach 80% of the population. And is monopoly.
Yeah, and plus that, you have Fox News, and I can't believe how many people actually believe all the crap Fox News tells them. Excuse my language.
No. And then you have Fox News telling its hosts that they should not use voluntary polls as their yardstick for the facts, because voluntary polls by various organizations are just the people that watch those organizations or pay attention to those organizations. And yet just yesterday we had Fox News again touting these kind of polls to say that Donald Trump is doing really well. and therefore the Fox News listeners think, well, I want to be with a winner, so I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. It's crap.
Yeah. And the thing is, I don't even dare try to argue with these people. These white working people say they're going to vote for Trump. They got their mind set already. And put it this way, they just don't know how to think. I don't even talk politics with people if they're on that. If they're on the far right of me, I'm not even going to bother to talk to them about it. I'll talk to them about anything else, but I just won't talk politics.
Well, Kurt, this may surprise you, but I talk politics with everybody I see that I get a chance to.
Well, I know you do, Stan, and that's what I appreciate about you. Many, many years ago, I talked politics every chance I got, but after a while I find out, hey, I feel like if people talk politics, I can give my opinion, they can give me theirs, so be it, let's not get violent about it. Some people try to talk you into voting for their candidate. I used to do that a long time ago. I was a precinct committeeman for the Democratic Party.
Well,
so I have been a foot soldier for the Democratic Party.
Well, that would be a smart thing. And as you probably heard me say tonight, right now, democracy is not free. And it's just not the 2% of people that serve in the military that create our freedom. It's every one of us that are willing to vote for the right things and speak out for the right things.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Stan, it's been nice talking to you tonight.
It's been great talking to you, Kurt, again. It's been a long time, and I'm sorry it's been so long. I hope you'll call back soon.
And, and I'll see you around sometime.
I know you will, my friend. I know you will. You take care.
Okay, talk to you later.
Yep, bye for now. That was my friend Kurt. Kurt's a wefty. He's a good guy. He's reasonable. He understands. He's willing to listen. Sometimes we disagree. Most of the time we don't. Because Kurt is willing to hear data, accept data, and understand that that is true. Data is just data. If you have a guy like Donald Trump that is frequently, if not constantly, denigrating women, minorities, people of other countries, if you have a guy like Donald Trump that wants to be the only person in the UN that does not support the reality of climate change, the only person in the UN that does not support climate change, really? The United States of America may comprise 5% of the population of the world. The United States of America may comprise about 25% of the economic activity of the world. But the United States of America does not comprise 25% of the reality of the world. Right now in the United States, we have areas of our country that are being inundated by water because the oceans are rising. We have places in the United States of America that are very wealthy places that if they do not decide to work for their own best interest, and I'm talking about Florida, by 2050, if they follow Donald Trump's plan for global warming, very wealthy places will be like New Orleans was. They will have to build a dam around the city and pump the water out constantly. And I'm talking about Miami, Florida. Miami, Florida will be below sea level by 2050 if the Republican policies are allowed to stand. That's just one example. The Keys will not exist. They will be underwater by 2050 if Republican policies are allowed to stand. The reality is they won't. They won't be allowed to stand because as much as Donald Trump would like you to believe that he is a 100% opposed to global warming, Donald Trump is also a realist. Donald Trump is a realist in the fact that he has casinos in areas subject to global warming, and he will not do what he says he'll do. It's just a bait-and-switch game for the low-information voter. Oh, I don't believe in global warming, but I'm going to do something to protect my casinos. Holy crap. Is there any other definition of a low information voter out there? Minutes past the hour here at WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. We're going to take another musical interlude here. Fiona Boys, Lay Down with Dogs. I'm not sure this is talking about Donald Trump, but I'm hoping.
What you please, but honey, I got your number, baby, and you can't fool me. Yeah, you lay down with the dog, baby, you're gonna get up with fleas. Well, the pack you've been running with are nothing but fools. You bring yourself down playing by their rules. Check your palate in the morning, baby, and you'll see that you lay down with the dog, baby, you're gonna get up with fleas. Well, you know you did a wrong and you're down on your knees. You're begging for forgiveness, crying, please, please, please. If you're scratching for my love, you won't find no relief, baby. Yeah, you lay down with the dog, baby, you're gonna get up with fleas.
Yep. You lay down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. It is 49 minutes past the hour. That means we are an hour and 45 minutes into my program. And I'm sure that you all will be happy to know that my computer has decided that it has completed updating. This would be funny if it wasn't so silly. WFT is Community Radio Free Central Illinois. As such, we do public service announcements. Here's one now.
WEFT is supported in part by Kevin Elliott Counseling. Elliott Counseling Group has 35 counselors providing mental health services for individuals, families, couples, children, and groups. Evening and weekend appointments are often available immediately. Virtually all insurance, including State of Illinois employee insurance, is accepted, and there is also a self-pay sliding scale. Kevin Elliott or his staff can be reached at 398-9066 or ELLIOTT Counseling Group.com.
Hey, this is WFT Champaign 90.1 FM. And yes, Kevin Elliott, I would like to count as one of my best friends. And he has a wonderful program here on WFT on Tuesday nights called Under the Joshua Tree. That is a very well-produced program. It has some great tunes, and I hope you will pay attention for that. In about 10 minutes, we're going to have the Sync Sound System in here with Adrian. And my computer is still working at getting up to its front page. And I may even have a chance to talk about one of the topics that was on my list of topics to talk about tonight, other than just talking about things off of my heart, because that's what I've been doing for the past hour and 50. There are so many things out there that I believe with every fiber of my being. One of those things is that, as I've said a couple of times tonight, freedom is not free. About 2% of the population of this country has served in the military of our country. And they have sacrificed in one way or another to make sure that our country is free. But our country, since I began serving in the military in 1971, has changed. Back in 1971, we had laws and rules and regulations that protected our middle class. We had laws and rules and regulations that prevented monopolies like the East India Company. We had laws and rules and regulations that kept our country free. So to a very real extent, when I served in the military, it was the 2 or 3% of the population of this country that truly did keep our military free. But things have changed. Ronald Reagan was elected president in 1980 after committing treason by making a deal with the Ayatollah Khomeini to wait until after his election to release the hostages. That was treason. The release of the hostages occurred after he was inaugurated in January because the Iranians didn't trust that we would actually inaugurate him. The hoo-ha about how the government would be maintained by Jimmy Carter was disbelieved until after the swearing-in ceremony of Ronald Reagan. They didn't trust us because they had been taught by conservatives not to trust us. Once Ronald Reagan was sworn in as President of the United States, within 24 hours, they released our hostages because he'd made a deal. He followed through on his deal and gave the Iranians arms. He followed through on his deal to sell them arms to fund an illegal operation in Nicaragua. And the people of this country didn't really blink an eye when Ronald Reagan said he was going to quit enforcing the Taft-Hartley laws, which prevented monopolies. The problem is that since then, we've seen the media shrink so that now the media has monopoly power. And over the past year and a half or so, we've seen the media select two candidates to run for president. They selected Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side, and they selected Donald Trump on the Republican side. They have given Donald Trump probably, well, certainly, hundreds of millions of dollars in free advertising. Just as an example, the Morning Joe show on MSNBC has been all Trump all the time since he announced his candidacy. They have taken phone calls from him. They have given him all the airtime he wants, yada, yada, yada. And the following shows after Morning Joe's has piggybacked on his data. Joe Scarborough is a Republican. Donald Trump was running on the Republican side. Joe Scarborough was a... Well, he is a fool. Because as radical as Donald Trump was, my personal belief is that Joe Scarborough never really believed that Donald Trump would be anywhere close to the Republican nominee. But because all of the other media outlets have given Donald Trump 100% of their effort, that's what the Republicans have. A misogynist, a racist, a xenophobe. Is that really what the Republican Party is about? If they vote him into office, the answer to that question will clearly be true. But if they do not vote Hillary Clinton into office, the answer will be that because the media did not give Bernie Sanders a chance, who is a true American, a true middle-class supporter, a true protector of middle-class values, that too will be true. It is almost 8 o'clock. I've got to get out of here for this week. I hope you'll come back next week and listen to me again next week. I may be running a little bit late because I have some doctor situations, but my intention right now, tonight, is to be here. I will see you next week, 8 o'clock, or excuse me, 6 o'clock. We'll do this again, and hopefully you will add your voice to the program. Good night till next week. Bye for now.